Christmas isn't quite the same without the raunchy, outrageous humor of our beloved drag mom, Lady Bunny. For over a decade, Bun Bun's twisted holiday parodies have been a favorite of our end-of-the-year incredibly strange Christmas music specials, celebrating the twisted holiday songs we've grown to love.
When Bunny isn't on stage tearing up her pantyhose, what kind of Christmas music does she enjoy listening to? Today, we get ready for the roller coaster ride of the holiday season by chatting with Lady Bunny about outrageous Christmas music we all enjoy.
Plus, collaborating with her writing partner, Beryl Mendelbaum.
Bunny's thoughts on Gaga's and Garland's film remake of A Star Is Born.
And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says she would fill out a RuPaul's Drag Race bracket like Obama does with college basketball. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. The songs featured on today's show are available through links on our website, feastoffun.com.
Last Christmas Eve, I met Santa Claus. Santa whipped his cock out and hung down his thigh. I opened my mouth and when I started to cry, Santa Claus just came in my mouth. He's raping us kids. His beard has lice. That dirty old man is naughty, not nice. Santa Claus just came in my mouth. He'll screw you when you're sleeping. And he won't even use grease.
Ow!
And suddenly, it dawned on me. Is Santa Claus a priest? But don't call the police. Better wash that cum out and never ask why. You better not shout, cause mommy won't hear your cries. Santa Claus is really your dad. But at least he's real.
Darling, I'm so sorry to run a little late.
That's okay.
What a treat. Do I have the both of you? Or
you
might
too.
Your husband Mark be gallivanting round Norway?
I'm back and I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas, Lady Bunny.
No, you mean Happy Holiday. We don't want to offend anyone who isn't a Christian.
Listen, Trump's in office now and we're finally allowed to say Merry Christmas again.
Oh, so you are, but I am part, I identify as the war on Christmas.
Oh, well, how about Good Yule? How about that?
And that is why my new holiday show is just the perfect thing to do on Christmas, because it's literally celebrating Christmas with an atheist. And by the time my show in New York starts on the 26th, the day after Christmas, so everyone will be so sick of the holiday music that they will be dying to hear me lampoon it. My co-writer, Beryl Mendelbaum, have got some doozies.
Bunny, December 2nd is not after Christmas. December 26th is the second day of Christmas. There's 12 days of Christmas.
Okay, let me get all the dates right. It is New Orleans on Monday, tomorrow night, the 17th. It is December 20th at Catalina in Los Angeles.
Okay.
The 21st at Velvet in Santa Ana, and starting from the 26th through the 30th at Stonewall Inn. Yes, the legendary.
Legendary.
So are you the only performer at the Stonewall Inn at this point?
Oh, no, they have shows in there all the time. Well, you know, every gay bar has competitions because why would you ever want to do anything different? Let's all do the very most obvious because we are gays and we are no longer creative.
Okay, we got that.
Well, with competition, it drives people to be their best. Sometimes.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Merry Christmas, then.
Okay, kids, you guys are all going to be lip-syncing for your presents. And the loser doesn't get anything.
Oh, yeah.
No, wait. Are you talking about the Christmas special?
RuPaul's Christmas special?
The present is you get a lip-sync from RuPaul, which I thought those little things were funny. I liked those. I mean, but I always loved that bullshit. Elvira does that with body doubles. I love it.
There ain't no harm in promoting your stuff available on iTunes. Now, every year, Lady Bunny, we do an incredibly strange Christmas music show to wrap up the year where we play clips of the wonderful, oddball, twisted and demented holiday music that deserves a second listen. And somebody's work always pops up time and time again, and that's yours and Jackie
Please Beats. Do not imply that I am anything but a lady.
And for years, you've been doing pretty amazing parody songs as part of your career. When did
pretty
first...
amazing? I think downright amazing.
Gorgeous, amazing.
We could go.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
When did that first sort of approach of singing live and making parody songs begin for you?
It was really If You Could Read My Mind, which I made into If You Could Read My Behind. And, you know, what a tale my thoughts could tell, just like a stretched out pussy, the kind your mama sells. And, you know, sometimes
I
would
that
just
all the time, by the way.
But I'm going to tell you, I was the world's worst at misheard lyrics. Even Miss Guy had on her answering machine from Carrie. They're all going to laugh at you. And girl, I called that number, you know, because we call back in those days, the ancient seniors. And
you still
I thought
call.
That thing was saying, have a little more apple juice. And so I'm the worst at miss. Oh, and but I did also parody Chic's Everybody Dance. Do a doo doo, crap your pants, crap your pants.
Yeah, it just still never fails to get such a great reaction from an audience. And the funny thing about
Honey,
song, like parodying song lyrics is
because it's a lot of
that,
shit uh-huh. humor.
Yeah. But the funny thing about song parody lyrics is that you can get away with saying some outrageous things that if you just said it deadpan, even as a comedian, you know, then people will be on Twitter posting.
I think you're right
be
because
canceled.
They're... Well, that's especially true if you turn it into hits with a bit of a beat because they're already kind of, you know... Either, you know, I mean, enjoying to some sure. degree the music. So sure. you're right. It is, the parody does put it in a palatable way. But honey, I mean, listen, palatable today, what is palatable? What is palatable?
Now, you've been working
I saw a review.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You've been working for a while with Beryl Mandelbaum, who...
Beryl Mandelbaum.
Who, for many people, is just this anonymous Facebook account, but this is somebody you actually personally know and are friends with.
Oh, yes, I've been to Beryl's home in Mexico twice.
She lives in the country of Mexico.
Pardon me?
She lives in the country of Mexico.
It's Querétaro. I don't think that's exactly country because there's big shopping malls and stuff not far from, you know, where she is. But, yeah. You know, Beryl and I just met on Facebook. I thought she was really funny turning herself into an old Jewish thieving, always wanting to poison the Halloween candy for the kids, having a, you know, kind of a dummy sidekick. Like Dame Edna did, that Madge Alsop, or I don't remember Beryl's. Oh, Mrs. Milfman. So it's like, you know, she's like the witch of the retirement home, constantly stealing things. I said, well, this person, you know, actually can write in someone else's voice.
Yeah.
And it turns out that she can even write in my demented voice. But then again, sometimes she'll try to stop and say, Bunny, no, don't do that. And that will be the hit line of the show. And it irks her because she's like a cunt.
Do you guys like get on the phone together or and
all
write stuff
the time?
Together?
I worship Beryl. She is not a cunt. I couldn't work with someone for 4 or 5, I don't know, maybe 6 years.
So what's your process like then in your collaboration with her? How do you guys work together?
Well, here's one that's Christmassy. I said we need to do, instead of We Three Kings, We Three Spies of Soviet R. Kushner, Flynn, and Paul Manafort. We're colluding with Vladimir Putin to make Trump America's czar. And look, czar, I mean, come on, you got to give it to Beryl. Mm. I came up with that idea, but she fleshed it out. And bitch, colluding with Vladimir Putin?
Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
Absolutely.
She's great.
How much new material is in every of your Christmas shows this year?
Well, you know, I tried out the Christmas show.
Yeah.
What I want to do is have Christmas classics and really work on them so that people enjoy them possibly enough to come and see them, or at least say, oh, you should see Bunny's show to a friend, even if you've seen it, because there are some things that are just definitely good, and I've worked them for years, but there's a new Christmas medley this year. Lots of, we're not to say retarded, but that's what I identify as, and that's what this show is. And so, yeah, last year we had a special ghost appearance from Bianca Del Rio via puppet, and James Mansfield has made me a puppet of myself and of Bianca. So I'm really branching out now.
Who does the voice for the puppet?
It's pre-recorded with Bianca.
Oh, wow.
It's pre-recorded with me too, and then it interviews me.
So this is like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but you know.
Exactly. Like the puppet will ask me if you had to have sex with Donald Trump or Mike Pence and humanity depended on it, which would you choose? And I say that's what the puppet asks, and I say, gee, I'll miss humanity. Well, but I won't miss Zoomanity. Oh, no.
Zoomanity by Cirque du Soleil, now at the Royal Crown Theater.
What are you fools up to? I'm sorry, writing process. So, yeah, you know, it could be anything. I can write, you know, a skeleton version of what I wanted to go into and, what direction I want to go into with what song. Sometime, you know, and then she'll flesh it out, and then I'll maybe add more or see what works, or by performing it, see which gets the best laughs. Well, I have two big laughs in the first chorus when you can have a big one ending, you know, each chorus.
Mm-hmm. On Twitter, Bianca Del Rio wrote, call me old-fashioned, but I prefer to tell a bitch, fuck you, to her face. Hashtag all these cryptic tweets. Call a bitch out. Hashtag children. And then you respond, we already called you old-fashioned. Me? They just call me old. And when I think of old age, I start to get hot. And when I get really hot, I shit. Now lose your card. You have such a great relationship and friendship with Bianca Del Rio.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. We were just filming stuff for RuPaul's Drag. I think it was season 7 or 8. Season 8 it was. And you and Bianca were hosting a show together. And you were like, post that footage up. Post it up. And I put it up on the internet, not thinking, you know, because all that other stuff is like, a lot of people don't really pay much attention to it because, you know, the sound isn't always great. Man, have people loved the two of you guys together on stage making fun of the drag queens. It's amazing.
That night, she was wild.
Yeah.
Is that the night that she said something with some woman with a cane?
Yeah, she was making fun of her.
That was magic. That was so fucking brilliant.
Everybody was on board. Everybody was there.
Listen to what Bianca said to me the other day. So we were just bitching, catching up, whatever. I said, well, did you see a Star is Born? And we gave our opinions. I said, well, you know what? I don't really like the Barbra Streisand, you know, or the Judy Garland. Or, you know what else? After Wizard of Oz, I don't really love Judy Garland. Everyone's talking about, oh, she's so vulnerable. I love her. So nobody wants me to get up on stage and be vulnerable. Bianca says, when you get on stage, the stage is vulnerable.
Well, I do remember early on when we were podcasting, and probably the first time we interviewed you, we talked about your writer that said that your stage must support at least 250 pounds.
Very funny.
No, that actually is in your writer. At least it was at one point in time. I've actually seen it with my own eyes.
But then you did tell us, you explained to you, like, sometimes you just show up to a bar and they would literally have, like, a plywood, you know, piece of wood up on cinder blocks. And you're like, oh, no.
No, I think you said they wanted to perform on top of milk crates.
Oh, was that
well,
it?
Well, I put my elbow on the dressing room table in front of the makeup mirrors at one place that you know, you both know. And the entire thing fell down with a rusted nail, jamming my one pair of good hose that I was on tour with. Hi, hello.
Oh, shit.
And did you have to get a tetanus shot, or did they just, like, take you out to a field?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because my mother's a nurse, yeah. And this is what she, how she always, well, you can't see me, but always indicate what happened if you don't. This is how she convinced us to get a tetanus shot. She would put her arms by her side with her fist and just lock her jaw, and look, it looked so vile that, you know, we got that fucking shot.
Yeah, because you get lockjaw or something, right?
Well, I mean, if
that's it, dangerous
if,
for you.
If lockjaw locks your jaws, I have never had it.
For you, with Christmas music, what are some artists that you wish would have put out like a crazy, twisted, demented song? For me, it's like Rusty Warren, who is kind of the queen of raunchy burlesque.
Oh, yes. I love her.
I wish she would have done more
Booze
material.
Booze is the only answer.
Yeah, she did. I think she's the one who's famous for doing the 12 days of Christmas.
Cocktails?
But
oh, is
cocktails,
that her?
Yeah.
Oh.
And a lot of drag queens lip sync her music. But
no,
never
that's
gave
not
her
Rusty
credit.
Warren.
It wasn't Rusty Warren. No. Do you remember who it is?
No,
I'm like, now I'm.
No,
it was a Vegas act, right?
Yeah.
Rusty Warren's voice is an old cigarette, you know, scotch voice. This woman's voice is high that sings.
Yeah, but you can Google it, and Drunk Lady Sings the 12 Days of Christmas.
Oh, right. Oh, I know. That was Lip Sync.
Faye McKay. I'm sorry. So it's Faye McKay, but also Rusty Warren put out a couple of
albums. How dare you?
Albums.
I'm going to take away your non-binary card.
God bless you, lady buddy.
I'm going to take away your gender fluid set.
What are some, like, Christmas music or Christmas musicians that you, like, regularly listen to? Because a lot of that stuff is just poorly produced, and it's not well done, and it's all garbage, you know? Like, in terms of hits, like, that's on your playlist. Is there something that you turn to and you really enjoy listening to?
Lady Bunny?
I think we lost her. Hold on.
Sorry.
Oh, that's
this
okay.
Christmas... This Christmas by Stephanie Mills cannot be believed. Now, it was slightly influenced because of the time that it came out by the go-go style percussion from DC. And a lot of people swear by the, not the Johnny Mathis, but the, oh God, what's the guy's, Donny Hathaway version. Mm-hmm. But Stephanie's version takes me there. I love Christmas Rapping by Curtis Blow, which is actually what they sampled on Next's big hit in like the, I don't know, early 90s or whatever. You're making it hard for me.
You're familiar with the Barbara Streisand Jingle Bells song where she's singing really, really fast.
What song?
Jingle Bells.
Oh, I love that. Oh, how could you not love it?
I think it's like one of the most lip-synced songs that drag queens do at during the holidays.
Well, Santa Baby's a great song, and I redid that one.
Yeah.
For my
go?
New show. Yeah, that's one of the that's actually the number that they like the best.
How does your I know that Jackie Beat does one where she talks about having Santa's baby.
Yes.
What
well, I chose a more traditional route that audience might enjoy, Jackie. and then I don't have to be looking at a fucking music stand because I just wrote it in the dressing room. No, because I'm kidding. Jackie is a prolific writer. That's why she uses. It's true. I wish I was that prolific. What is it? Santa baby, bring me Colin Kaepernick, Saint Nick. I'll kneel while I suck his big dick, Santa honey. So draft him for my tight end tonight.
Are you familiar with Clarence Carter's Backdoor Santa?
No.
They call me Backdoor Santa.
Yes. That
I make
my
mother's, rounds about the
that
break
was my
of day.
Mother's act.
It
yes,
was?
That was my mother's act in the 30s.
It's a song basically like, and I think like Santa Baby and Backdoor Santa are both, people argue that are songs about anal sex.
Well, you're a fag. And your mind's in the gutter. And that's probably why you called me. How could you know that even I, devil that I'm perceived as, has some affection for the Lord Jesus around this time of year?
Bunny,
hell.
What about the Salsa Orchestra Christmas Jollies medley?
The best song.
Are you familiar with that one?
Called Merry Christmas.
The best song what?
Sorry, honey, my face, my phone is cracked. My face is too, honey. Okay. Listen, you were asking me about...
music that really, turns you on during the holidays. Like the Salsa Orchestra.
The Salsa Orchestra has a great song. It's a slower song. It's called Merry Christmas All. But it really does make you want to join hands with your friends and kind of sway back and forth. Like a This Will Be by Natalie Cole, but not nearly as rockin' and wild. It's very sweet and cute. And I like Santa Claus is Coming to Town by the Jackson 5. Faith Evans has a song called Christmas Wish and also Soul Christmas, which I love, but I just love her voice.
The Jackson 5, they're the ones who originated that arrangement of Santa Claus is Coming to Town that then Bruce Springsteen covered, and then the Pointer Sisters covered for a very special
Santa
Christmas.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, yeah!
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah, honey, they jacked that song. That's when I loved Michael, when he was young, before he knew he was a full-fledged woman. White woman.
Is that what it was with
Elf
him?
Woman.
Oh, Elf. What about Patti LaBelle singing This Christmas in front of the at the White House?
Shut up.
You've seen that, haven't you?
No.
So Patti LaBelle goes up on the stage and she doesn't know the words, so they're holding cue cards, only their cue cards are upside down or in wrong order.
Or the wrong song. She's like, I don't know this song or something.
And the background, she doesn't call them backup singers, she calls them background singers, because nobody backs up Patti LaBelle. They're in the background. And she's screaming, where are my background singers? Come on, next card, next card. I don't know the lyrics to the song. This Christmas, I'm going to ad-lib all the... What?
That's years old.
Oh, yeah, it's about 5 years old. It was recorded on C-SPAN, sure. And then honey, somebody reposted it 3 years more. Later. What?
It makes me love her more. Mm. Someone did an interview, a review of Patty's show, and said, oh, it's as if she's lost her mind or whatever. And she took off her shoes and kicked them up in the air, went to a woman in the front row of the audience and said, I like your hair. Can I try it on? And I was like, what are you talking about? Sounds like her best show ever. Idiot. You don't even know what Patti LaBelle is supposed to be about or how these things are her fucking trademark.
Yeah. Did she try on the hair?
No, but she has a pianist named John who is a god above all.
What do you know about Patti LaBelle and her sort of friendship rivalry with Aretha Franklin?
Nothing, and I don't care about it.
Because it was when Aretha Franklin passed away, people
she
were
asking didn't take her,
about
her
it.
Hand or whatever.
Yeah.
Aretha didn't take Patti's hand. But if you're going to try to tell me that a woman of Patti's stature is going to be diminished in any way by a slight from someone who may well have been a nut. Aretha, that in my view, that diminishes Patti in no way whatsoever.
Yeah, I think it actually makes me love Patti LaBelle even more. Did you hear this story? So the guy who, Reverend James Wright Chanel, who on Facebook made a video eating Patti LaBelle's pies, or sweet potato pies, and he's a gospel singer himself, so he starts singing like Patti LaBelle, and it went viral and made all those sweet potato pies that Walmart was selling sell out, and so people were taking those sweet potato pies and selling them for as high as $300, $400 on eBay. And Patti LaBelle was approached by the paparazzi and said, did you know, what do you think about this? And she's like, whatever, she didn't have much to say about it. And so all these bloggers like T.S. Madison went on Facebook and said, Miss Patti LaBelle needs a new attitude because she did not sell those pies on her own. And so that prompted Patti LaBelle to invite Reverend James Wright Chanel to sing with her on stage, to visit her home. And as a thank you, she gave him a bunch of luggage.
Louis Vuitton luggage.
I know that she kind of sicked her security guards on some off-duty Marine at a hotel that she was leaving.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that story.
Well, then she also snapped at some, neighbor when she was living in New York for, Broadway. I mean, I never said she's perfect.
Listen, you have to have boundaries, and you have to respect, have people respect those boundaries, I think.
If you don't know that that creature is a diva beyond, then you're a moron. You do exactly as she says.
I just wish Patti LaBelle did more, just, you know, original Christmas music. Cause it's like, I feel like with a lot of artists, when they put out a Christmas album, it's always covers. Like, I mean, think about Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Now that's considered canon, but when that first came out, people were just like, didn't know what to do with it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was released at the time, and it skyrocketed and became a hit, but people were sort of like...
It's unusual to get a new Christmas song.
It's very hard to do that. And
that was, what, 93?
Mm-hmm. Very recently.
So that's 20 years ago? 25 years ago? Yeah, it's 25 years old now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there haven't been Miley Cyrus and Sean Lennon and someone else just released some peace song or some Christmas anti-war song, and I was like, oh.
but you're against war. You're a peacenik.
I know, but the Billboard quote was that the song had an anti-war message, and we wondered if they were talking about this. Drake and some other fool are having a beef on Twitter, and I'm like, I think John Lennon was talking about an actual war, not
It is interesting and sort of disheartening to see like a lot of fans of young fans of drag queens, mostly from Drag Race on television, talking about drag as if they were like politicians running for an elected office.
Well, okay. They're trying to dissect the formula.
Hmm. I mean, what do you make of it? It's one person said something and they're canceled and banned forever, and another person's people. And so the fans kind of, rally up based on the statements they made on Twitter and not their act or not their artistry as performers.
It's creating a polarized environment, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Polarizing who? And who are some of the ones that got banned?
Well, I mean, I don't want to get into details because it feels like it's always somebody new. That's like,
oh, see, I have no knowledge of it.
I'd rather not talk about any specifics because whenever that happens, it's an artist who's hurting and it starts lashing out on social media by checking people. And then us talking about it or anybody talking about it just rewards that toxic negative behavior. And I'd rather just them heal and grow as individuals. Another season of Drag Race is coming around the corner. All Stars is here, and it's just like, and already it's like these kids on social media are just tearing at each other in just ridiculous ways.
You know, someone asked me in an interview recently, is it time for a big queen to win Drag Race? And I was like, I could never think of things in those terms, in as much as Drag Race paints itself as a competition, whether fair or not. You don't bring back contestants that you've already eliminated. I mean, they love to play with the formula and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. But in as much as it is a real competition, why would you ever say, it's time for someone fat to win? Now, if they're fat and they beat all the challenges and they're the best queen and they show the best looks and they're a hoot, by all means, let's have a fat one. But you delegitimize any, fair competition if you think that that either, viewers or producers of the show are sitting there thinking, let's have a fat one, or we need another Asian one, or that's just rotted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fans want to see themselves represented.
Then you're not looking for a fair competition. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for how someone who is like you fares on a competition, then go enter a goddamn competition.
Mm-hmm.
That's so stupid.
Well, it's obvious, I think, with All Stars 4 that Latrice is going to take it.
You think?
Yeah. I think I have
no knowledge.
Like, yeah.
I've never seen any of them.
Any of the All Stars?
You say, you introduce yourself as Latrice Royale. You say, I'm Latrice Royale, and I like to eat.
Well, now I introduce myself as, hi, I'm Trixie Mattel, and I gained weight.
Did she?
I haven't missed a meal since Thanksgiving, and sometimes we'll just have the dessert meal.
What's your favorite dessert to eat, like, during the holidays?
Well, I sure didn't get a good pumpkin pie. I had one pumpkin cheesecake thing. It was rotten.
Oh. I've been making fruitcake cookies. Do you know what those are?
Cookies made of fruitcake, perhaps?
So, a lot of people, when they think of fruitcake, they just think that hard loaf that you get and you just don't know what to do with it.
So you're talking about a hard loaf, you're getting her excited.
If it's hard, no, honey, if it's hard enough, I'll push it right back up in there. Yeah. And just back and forth.
So a fruitcake cookie is a gingerbread. It's like a chewy gingerbread cookie with pieces of ginger, cherries, candied orange peel, and nuts. And then you drizzle dark chocolate on top. It is amazing.
Would you like
with some? With the ginger?
There's ginger in it.
Would you like some?
I think I'm good. Haven't missed a meal since Thanksgiving. And
well, you're getting some anyway, so.
I'm sending you a box.
Well, I do like the chocolate on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with just a little bit of the chocolate. You can eat the chocolate off.
Because I'm so tired of all the chocolate on the bottom.
So what do you make of, like, diversity in terms of, like, the representation of a drag artist? Because you are somebody who not just performs but curates a lot as part of the person who helms Wigstock for all these years. And this year, Wigstock was brought back to life at Pier 17.
True, it was, and it was a hoot. But I'm not getting your question, the first part of it.
Well, the diversity, you know. I think sometimes when people think about diversity, they think of it in a superficial way. They're just like, we need a fat queen, we need an Asian queen, we need a...
Well, that's moronic. That's moronic. Listen, a competition is not meant to be inclusive. If it is, that's the opposite. Sure. Of a competition. Inclusion is not in any way a competition. Mm-hmm. So you can be inclusive choosing many different kinds, you know, of entrance, but not inclusive, exclusion. Mm-hmm. Someone is excluded at each episode. Mm. So listen, you know that show is not my thing. I have no I couldn't know what kids are going on about in advance this season.
Well, but I mean, I'm talking about with the regards to Wigstock, like, you know, it's sometimes hard to decide because there's so much to choose from, like who to invite to perform in a show.
Well, there's a lot. I am old. So there's
a lot.
A lot
of queens.
And many are still kicking, thankfully.
Well, and this year, I mean, Wigstock was brought back to life. Yes. Thanks to Neil Patrick Harris. I was reading the New York Times.
And his boyfriend, David Baker.
And David. I was reading the New York Times that, like, there were some technical problems with the sound. And so, like, Neil Patrick Harris would, next act wouldn't show up on stage, he would come onto the stage and, like, try to entertain people.
Oh, I didn't see that part. I was changing.
How many outfits did you wear that night?
I don't know, but quite a few. I mean, well, you know, it was for a documentary that they're still working on, so I wanted to look, you know, give them a few.
What
looks.
Is the theme of the documentary?
HIV.
Sorry, you.
And long-term effects on drag queens' ability to dress themselves and groom themselves.
And, mm-hmm. Well,
and guess what
at?
Else?
Because the dressing room was
it's
like
porn. Uh-huh.
It's porn. The dressing room areas for the Wigstock at the Pier 17 was mostly just the abandoned building backstage, right? And so they had set up a bunch of tables and lights.
No, it was a floor on a building which just looked like it could be a parking lot, but all they had tables and nice, you know, shit on there or whatever. It was. I had to be by the stage in a tent dressing myself, so.
So you were basically just like changing outfits and wigs, because I saw this one wig that looked like it was made with Christmas balls wrapped up in your own hair.
Mm-hmm.
That was just wonderful.
That's by Marco.
Ooh, just Marco Marco or just single Marco?
I don't
Marco?
Know. Marco's wigs on Instagram.
Well, what was the experience like? Because you had done We Suck, you know, before in a park. You'd done it on a boat, and then they approached you and said, "Hey, let's do this again."
And I said, "I will not on a moat."
And now you're on a pier.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Well, what was it like?
Mm.
Well, you know, it all the magic was there, and you know, we had so many of the original girls. And some from the middle, you know, era, like Peppermint.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple new ones, too, like the great dancer. She's so new, I don't even know her goddamn name. It has nothing to do with the weed I smoked. It's just what is that whore's name? Pixie Aventura.
Okay.
It was sizzling. And love to involve new queens. And then we had, I think, some of the best from Drag Race.
Mm.
Bianca, Latrice, Willem, Alaska, Sharon, Bob, and there was one more that I love, Jinx.
Jinx Monsoon was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peaches Christ was there.
Yes.
But, you know, it was also really nice that some of the diehard OG Wigstock girls, like Misunderstood and Sherry Vine, were there as well.
Perfidia.
Well, honey, those are the ones that it's going to mean the most to.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot of these girls, well,
and Lena and Candace.
With the exception of Sherry Vine, you know, certainly for Perfidia and Misunderstood, it was really very moving to be back in that environment and that, you know, that atmosphere of inclusivity that I feel like in some ways, because of the success of television shows like Drag Race, we've sort of forgotten about why we dress up in drag, and it's not to become rich millionaires in our careers, but it was because it was fun to do.
Well, I think it still is fun to do.
Mm.
I think so too.
And I had fun Friday night at a private party DJing, and then I DJed at Sex Fifth Avenue on the young women's level. Okay, don't try it. And today is the Monsters' 38th anniversary.
Mm.
What's the anniversary of what?
The Monster.
Oh, the club.
Yeah, the only gay dance floor open 7 days a week in New York City for a while now.
Mm.
And a lot of entertainers got their starts or certainly cemented their careers there. Vivacious was a regular at Monster.
Unfortunately.
Maybe they'll have her back someday.
And this year, certainly, what did you make of the, you know, you certainly like to talk a lot about politics on social media and in interviews. And certainly we saw a significant win by progressive Democrats in the 2018 November election with the certainly rise of a very progressive, very likable representative, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, my Boricua sister.
Yes.
What'd you make of it?
Well, I certainly loved to see Alexandria sign up for her own insurance in preparation to join the House, and note that her insurance was more expensive when she was a waitress than as a member of the House.
Mm.
Yeah,
now,
that's shameful.
This is critical that she is going to stand up to the leadership. I'm ready to just say, you know what? Democratic socialists, including Bernie. You know what I like about you? The socialism. You know what I don't like? The Democrat. So y'all need to really work or you will be on my nerves. And, you know, I listen to everyone on Twitter from veterans to, Middle Eastern reporters, all of it. And it's just, I think we're in a real muddle, and I think that the media has done their best to keep Trump's follies in the news at all times, because now we're getting ready to go into an election. And if MSNBC is media of the left, if CNN is a bit more in the middle, but still gives voices to the left and right, what they could have been talking about all kinds of issues important to their base. They could have been talking about single-payer health or Medicare for all, whatever you want to call it. They could have been talking about paid sick leave, you know, enjoyed in some of the countries which have, you know, I mean, this, if Michael Moore is to be believed, 500, I mean, what is it? No, not half of the country cannot afford $500 emergency fund to fly across the country to see a funeral or, yeah. You know, I mean, if this is true, something's not working. And those things weren't working before Trump was here. So, yes, Trump is shit. But you do not only go on and on about Trump. Bashing Trump primarily was how Hillary Clinton lost. It was all about, he's horrible. He's this. Oh, he did this to this women. He did this. But no one knew what Hillary was about. I mean, even, you know, the Andrew Sullivan, who I can't say that I agree with often, wrote an article before the election saying we're in the middle of this abyss, you know, that Trump could be, you know, if he won. Then in the middle of it, one sentence said, still, Hillary Clinton has not provided one concise message on where the economy is going to be going. And so if you weren't doing well under the two terms of Obama and never really bounced back with that, you know, from that recession, Hillary was promising four more years of Obama. Maybe you didn't want it.
Mm.
Well, certainly, you know, you're not going to hear a lot of discussion about network neutrality or healthcare coming from MSNBC that's owned by a very conservative parent company, which is Comcast.
Right.
And everybody who's had Comcast as a cable provider knows what shitheads they are. A news channel that is owned and operated by one of the most hated corporations on the planet.
They're not going to do you any favors.
Yeah.
They're
this is the problem, is that a lot of information is either being brought to you guys through grassroots mom and pop operations like this show. We don't have their money. We barely can pay our internet hosting bill. Or these filthy, filthy, filthy rich cable news channels, which are even suck up more advertising dollars and more money than out of the ecosystem for news and journalism.
And journalists that are telling the truth. You look at, you know, the Saudi crown prince who killed a journalist. And then in Russia, like, they kill journalists. So it's like,
And the weird thing is, like, even Mark and I sometimes do feel like that animosity towards journalism directed at us.
In Saudi Arabia, they kill everybody, honey. Until a few years ago, they probably fucking kill a woman who drove. Why have we been palling around with the Saudis for so long?
Yeah.
Wasn't it George Herbert Bush?
Well, I think the idea of the United States supporting the Saudi government is because we're sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place of where we want influence in the Middle East.
Well, we want their oil, but they also are so rich that, like, they control about, I think it was like a quarter.
But America is producing most of its own oil for the first time in history. We like them because they buy our weapons. That's why Obama started selling it to them 3 years ago, and that's why Trump continues to sell. Long before the Khashoggi thing, you know, we're bombing their sanitation centers and, you know, with American bombs, and they're on the ground with the bombs saying, here's where it's made, and it's made in America. They're saying, we blame America. I mean, they know what's going on. We're selling them the bombs. And I ask you, if you are concerned about cruelty, wouldn't you say that Democrats and the people you know largely want, you know, gun reform so that we can't get these assault rifles, you know, which belong out on a battlefield, you know, just available to anyone crazy or whatever, or with a record. Wouldn't you say most Dems want to get rid of those weapons?
Well, I think part of the interest, United States influence in the Middle East and other countries is because other countries like Russia and China are also very interested in the Middle East.
Wouldn't you say that most lefties or Democrats or whatever, wouldn't you say that they don't want that assault rifle available to nut jobs who are going to shoot things up?
Well, obviously. I would say most of them, yes.
Most of them. Okay, so, but, yeah. So how is it okay that a Democratic president, Obama, sells much worse weapons of mass destruction to a Saudi who we've been palling around for? The Khashoggi was not the moment that should have alerted us to this. It's just that we're trying to make this look as if it is Trump's thing, when in fact Obama started this mess. Mm-hmm. Just out of sheer greed. I mean, you know, he even, you know, this is no good.
Mm.
What is no good?
The whole situation. I mean,
I think that's something that's been ongoing before Obama, though.
There's millions of Yemenis set to starve. It's the biggest cholera outbreak in 50 years. So we don't give a shit about them. But, oh, my God, please.
It's hard for people to understand the war, because I don't think it's really covered properly.
We don't understand it.
But we do identify with, somebody kind of going into a place and then getting murdered.
It's not covered at all, because there's, 90% of the media owned by six companies and corporate ads and corporate. It's got a corporate agenda. That's why. Why would anyone even be watching MSNBC or any other channel that sang for weeks that Hillary was having would win by a landslide? I mean, with partisan or not, I mean, wouldn't you want to kind of really know what's actually going to go on?
Isn't it weird how the people did kind of say she's going to win by a landslide, but then there was also all these other metrics saying, like, she's not going to beat Trump. She's not going to beat Trump. There's no way.
Well, Michael Moore predicted it, and he said that Democrats are now going to, I saw his Broadway show also, he said Democrats are now going to focus on trying to win over Republican votes, because they would rather do that than come to terms with progressives. They do not want to regulate banks. Mm. They do not want to stick by a $15 minimum wage, which is why, when Hillary won the primary, she gave in a little and said $12 wage. But that, some of them want to appeal to the business owners. Democrats do not want to unite with progressives. They don't. So that's why it's wonderful to hear Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeting, I'm at an orientation meeting. There's lobbyists. There's corporate types. There's no labor unions, and there's no, public, consumer advocates or whatever.
One tweet Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just posted yesterday, actually, was, if Obama released NCAA tournament predictions, does that mean I can do the same for RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4? She's a fan. She wants it. So Alexandria wants to become a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I think when you switch from a tweet where she's actually calling out how corrupt and bought the very orientation meeting to her position on RuPaul's Drag Race, and also, if you want to attach politics to RuPaul's Drag Race, let's not forget that it was not Alexandria, but it was Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi, yes.
Who was a judge on Drag Race. So I don't think the Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein wing like those others. They like the fact that they're in a Muslim head wrap, turban. They like the fact that there's more women or whatever, but Democrats are not progressive. Democrats want to go back to before Trump. Trump wants to go to the 50s or early 60s, whatever. And progressives want to go someplace we've never been, because we know that this sucks.
Well, what do you think about the possibilities if Trump is, this is highly unlikely, but if Trump is impeached, and a lot of political analysts are saying because he's being impeached, most likely Mike Pence will also be removed from power. That means Nancy Pelosi will be the next president.
For what reason?
Yeah, let me pull out my list here. So number one, obstructing justice. Two, violating the emoluments clause. Three, conspiring with others to commit crimes and then attempting to conceal those crimes. Advocating violence and undermining equal protection under the law. Abusing the pardon power. directing law enforcement to investigate and prosecute political adversaries, undermining the freedom of the press. Should I go on?
There have been allegations that have been flying so far left and right that Miss Badow on MSNBC has rushed it to put some information out there that wasn't even verified and didn't even end up being true. I mean, she's a maniac. Listen, if Trump is impeached tomorrow, that does not change the conditions which created Trump. We voted for someone with no experience.
But I guess the question, I'm curious to hear your thoughts about Nancy Pelosi as the possible president of the United States.
Our first woman president.
Well, this is the same way I feel that when they ask me, I don't care if it's the first female, the first black, the first trans. I don't care. I'm more concerned with what the. Now, you would think that a person of color or a female president would have more, probably in line with my ways of thinking, but you never know that. That female could be religious and not care for our kind.
Or Theresa May in support of Brexit. Have you seen the Theresa May, the guy who does Gollum from Lord of the Rings, dressed up in drag as Theresa May and is talking about Brexit?
No, but I've seen Chad Michaels.
And she's like, my precious Brexit. Must have it. But it was going to, so many people are going to be so poor. Does it matter?
It's quite entertaining. Definitely check it out. And I guess the British people are gearing up for a second referendum for Brexit. But some people are saying that actually might even be worse than the political situation that they're in now.
Oh, dear.
So complicated.
I saw there's an English drag queen. I didn't understand the drag because he appeared in a boogery drag on the top of a hill and then went to interview two different towns, one which overwhelmingly voted for Brexit and one which did not. Mm-hmm. And the one that voted for Brexit said, I could of the foreign laborers who came in from Czechoslovakia or Hungary or wherever, Romania. He said, I tried to do that work. I tried to pick, apples out, for 2 weeks in the sun. I lasted, 2 weeks. And I was like, so in other words, you voted against Brexit because you don't want them picking your apples. But you know that you don't want to pick them. So if the other people in the country feel like you, who's going to pick the goddamn apples?
Robots.
So this is what I don't understand when people are, I don't know.
It's the racist and they don't know how. That's the only thing they think about.
What's the racist?
Well, they're racist because somebody from a different country is going to come into their country and they feel like it's some kind of invasion. They don't want to do the job themselves, but they don't want somebody that's a foreigner. They're xenophobes.
But someone who tried to do the job and now realizes that they actually physically can't?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Hello, Miss Lady Bunny. You still there?
That's just stupid. If you like apples, you need somebody to pick them.
Amen, sister. What are your plans for this holiday? Are you going to be hanging out in New York during your show, but afterwards you're going to go back to Georgia to hang out with your mom?
Tennessee?
Chattanooga?
No, I won't.
No mommy this Christmas?
No. But we've been in close contact recently.
Aw. What was Christmas like in the Bunny household when you were a child? Because you were raised a Quaker. Did you guys have the holidays or?
Well, we weren't Quaker until we were around 11. I was 11, but maybe 12. But no, they always gave us that Lifesaver book and they always gave us stuff like, maybe they started this when I moved from home, but they loved to give us socks. They love to give a toothbrush. We never got
your parents
flashy.
Really were missionaries, weren't they?
Yeah, no, we never got the flashy gift. If we needed one, like what was the operation? If we needed one, like thing that was on the TV that we just had to have, they'd give us one of those each. But they weren't big gift givers, and I have to thank them for it because I remember when the last recession hit and I was like, wow, I'm glad. What if these kids are suddenly they've been getting these good gifts? Like, ooh, a car. a motorcycle, and then suddenly, lifesaver book. At least my parents, got me used to it, you know. I never got good gifts, so I would never feel that they loved me any less if I got a shit gift, because they always shit.
Didn't get that giant Barbie head that you could apply makeup to?
I have one of my own. Okay.
Well, was there ever a toy that you remember getting as a kid that you really enjoyed or have very fond memories of?
That you didn't stick up your butt?
I got Barbies.
Really? Your parents bought you Barbies when you were like 10 years old?
Yes, and later they told me that we didn't want to get you the Barbers. No, not 10, please. 4, 5, 6.
Oh, wow.
They told me much later, like in my 20s, we didn't, you know, you were asking for those Barbies and we didn't know whether to give them to you because we thought we were afraid you were, it would make you gay. I said, honey, the minute I started asking for them, I was gay. And there was no turning back, was there, honey?
Do you remember that Barbie doll that you could, she had, her scalp was a like a top and you could rotate the head to make her blonde or a brunette?
And pull it out to make it look more luxurious, but it was fairly, the hair was pretty cheap. Mm.
Perfidia has one.
Yeah.
I fucked my dolls up. They were just, mine were awful.
Did you cut my sister's hair?
Girl, I try, but I can't even do that now with my own mangy wig. So,
you think by this time you would have figured out how to style a wig?
I mean, I can get it together if someone has done the. Well, you know, these wigs are sewn together, so it's like I can't sew. I can't even see.
Oh, Lady Bunny, it's always a pleasure celebrating the holidays with you. It's just not Christmas without Lady Bunny.
Oh, you're sweet. What are your holiday plans?
We're going to be here in Chicago for the Christmas, and then we're going to go down for New Year's Eve to Austin, Texas, and Three Kings Day to celebrate with Fausto's family.
I'm going to be performing in drag a song medley of incredibly strange Christmas music in Austin, Texas.
On January 3rd.
In front of your parents?
Iron Bear. What?
In front of your parents?
My mother might come. If she comes, she needs to play. She doesn't like loud music, is her thing. So they need to turn down the music for her.
I hope she doesn't like loud makeup either.
Well, it's interesting because when I've seen you lip sync, you're always screaming at the DJ, turn the music up. I'm like, poor Bunny, she's just hard of hearing.
No, I'm not. You have to feel that shit.
If
you're lip syncing, you need monitors more.
Yes, I agree. There was a time where, was it in Los Angeles at DragCon for the Drag Queens of Comedy? And you were like screaming. Like you almost walked off the stage. You were so mad they wouldn't turn up the music.
She couldn't hear.
Well, what I was mad at is that the guy that booked the gig with several other clients in that show was sitting there behind the stage hearing me say all of that and not jumping up to say radio this to get the music up.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I have no problem paying a commission, but you'll do your damn job. It's why be there on the scene on your laptop?
And definitely, they could have turned up the music a little bit. You know, it's certainly like a lot of people just don't know. They've not performed in drag themselves. They don't. This is the first time working with lip syncing acts. So for them, it doesn't cross their minds that the performer needs to feel the music viscerally so they can sync up.
And if you don't know it helps too.
Or you could just wear a little shroud on your face like Valentina.
A little mask. It's not her style.
A little mask would probably cover one of my jowls. So is there a bigger size here that we could discuss?
We could put a paper bag over your head.
A flower bag, you know.
What was that, the unknown comet?
Did we ever from find the out Gong who he show? Was?
I don't know. Thing was brilliant. Mm. That thing was brilliant.
Well, that's kind of like Andy Kaufman, whose character was very similar of that sort of raunchy comic.
Mm. Was Andy
with this? Yeah. So
was Andy raunchy?
Well, he had an alter ego.
More that, like Disturbed.
Tony Clifton, who his friend and him both dressed up as Tony Clifton and would interchangeably go to gigs as Tony Clifton.
So it was one, it was two, yeah. It was two comedians being the same act.
Being the same act. And for a short, hot second, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Christian Grenia, who goes by Cassandra Fever, inadvertently got roped into pretending to be Elvira at a gig where the producers were like, "You're not Elvira." And they're like, and she's like, "Yeah, you can, the
you booked me as this.
You booked me as the Elvira impersonator." And they're like, "Well, you better pretend to be Elvira for this radio interview or we're not giving you a plane tickets home." And so she had to go on the radio and be like, "Hello, it's me, the gal in wig whose talents are big." And that's actual documented. Elvira and Cassandra Fever both confirmed the story.
Oh, honey, you want to know another genius Elvira trivia fact?
Yeah.
Yes.
One wig, one dress, 50 years. That hag is a genius.
Well, have you ever been tempted or have you heard of any people who are a drag queen who is performed by several different people? Like Bozo the Clown is a character that's performed by various different individuals.
Well, there's lots
time.
Of people that dress up as Trixie Mattel and do "I'm a Barbie Girl" with the exact same dance moves. So I guess that's kind of the same, right?
But they're not to the audience. They know that it's not Trixie. There's somebody pretending to be Trixie.
Do they?
Oh, well, since I hate that song, I'm just not even playing.
Let's go party, Barbie.
So you have some new Christmas music out for the new show?
Yes, lots.
Yeah?
Some vaguely wintry shit.
Yeah?
Like stuff from Frozen and,
Let It,
you know.
So you're doing a Let It Go parody?
Basically, and there's a little Wuthering Heights, which seems wintry.
Like Kate and, Bush, Wuthering Heights?
And Despacito, huh? Despacito.
I want to know what you said, because Despacito is, what is it? Un poquitito pasivo.
Soy pasivo. Quiero pingas grandes en mi culo. Don't worry if it's big, because I'm a puto. Just stick it in and call me pinche joto.
Wow, you know all your Spanish words.
I know the insults because I hear them. Okay.
Well, can we play a little bit of the show at the end of the podcast?
A little bit of what?
You sent me a clip.
Oh yeah, sure. Is this the end?
This is the bathroom door. Said, yes. What
God,
is it?
God rest ye merry gentlemen. God rest ye merry gentlemen.
From.
But you're going to turn it up. I can't hear it.
No, we're going to play it when we're done with the show.
Unless you want to comment over it.
Well, I could care less. Come and hear it at live. The 26th and the 30th at Stonewall, Catalina, L.A. Good night, everyone. Merry Christmas. I mean, happy holidays. I mean, whatever we're supposed to say today.
Good Yule.
Good Yule.
Ooh, that one's nasty. All right, boys.
Yule, not stool.
May you stick that Yule
now
log
we're getting
in your
good.
Hot fireplace.
Oh yeah, well you start drizzling that chocolate on my cookie gifts, gingerbread, ooh, garlic. What did they have? It sounded great.
Lick
he
the
loves
candy.
Them. They're actually pretty good. I could like them too.
Pretty
They're
good.
Actually very good.
Not worth the postage.
Bunny, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, it was fun.
We really appreciate your friendship throughout these years, and it means a lot to us for you to coming on the show. It's great.
Who
to
is
see
this
you.
Again?
It's Mark and Faustin from Feast of Fun, and we're wishing you happy holidays and a good new year.
No.
You have the runs again?
No.
What are you eating?
In my hose? I do. Girl, I went
Did
out
you call
to,
me a
to girl, I went out to DJ at some fancy Park Avenue. Bullshit. And girl, what did I? It was like something like, I know it had like dirty corn chip smelling hose down by the feet. And then it had, there was something else with the dress that was so wrong. Oh, and I could only find one pair of eyelashes. So I didn't even look like myself.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Huh?
Isn't that a good thing?
Well, actually, there is a worse. There still is a worse.
There's a worse?
Yeah. And get ready for it, because it's coming soon.
Oh,
to a graveyard near you.
Just don't come on me.
Well, there's so much cum already on you. I don't think anybody would notice, much less you.
I try and lick most of it off.
I know, but if some of it is your husband's, and then you puke, and then the puke smells so bad that you both shit, and then you get hard. And that's why you're together all this time.
All these years. We're coming up on our 20-year anniversary this next year.
Not necessary. Yeah.
We'll see if he makes it.
Thank you so much, Lady Bunny.
Bye.
Lady Bunny lives in New York City. Check out her Christmas special, Lady Bunny's Christmas Leftovers, happening December 22nd, 23rd, 26th. 27, 28th, and 30th. Co-written by Beryl Mendelbaum. It's Cold, Dry, and Rotten. Happening all over the world and at the Stonewall Inn.
The amazing Stonewall Inn. You can follow Lady Bunny on Facebook and follow her blog at ladybunny.net.
That's right. And so you want details for tickets to her show, mm-hmm. go to ladybunny.net. Mm-hmm. Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support. We spend a lot of time, money, and energy to make these shows available to you guys for free. If you've been thinking about becoming a premium subscriber and listening to all our podcasts with Lady Bunny over the years, you can do so by going to feastoffun.com/plus and become a premium member. Or make a one-time donation to Feast of Fun, and we'll send you a box of cookies.
And you can do that at feastoffun.com/donate. We also have t-shirts for sale in our store, feastoffun.com/store.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And Lady Bunny, wherever you are, God bless us, everyone. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody.
The restroom door said gentlemen, but I was in full drag. I tried to use the ladies' room till someone yelled out fag. I claimed I was transgender, but they knew it was a gag. Then security showed me the door that is wide.